my song. Let's sing it. It's gonna be freaking awesome. Come on, it's gonna be freaking awesome. You know the words. It's gonna be freaking awesome. That's it, say. It's gonna be freaking awesome. Yeah!
Hi-ho, Jesse Blaze Snyder here, the coolest geek alive, and welcome to our first special episode of our show. I decided that I'm going to start a little extra format here where I do a little bit of movie reviews or a top 10, something a little quick on the weekend that might be fun, that's on my mind, that I normally wouldn't dedicate an entire episode to, but is good for like a little 15 minute to half hour show. So today I want to talk about the top 10 MCU comic book adaptations in name only, and why Secret Invasion on Disney Plus has failed so spectacularly. In addition to the fact that it's terrible. The MCU has been opting to skip over almost 85 years worth of stories to name drop popular recently promoted titles that have absolutely nothing to do with their namesakes, because they take place in a fully built out Marvel universe that includes characters and circumstances that the 15-year-old MCU simply has not been able to get to yet. These name drops fuel sales of graphic novels that collect far superior stories, as we've seen with the recent DC Cinematic Universe and all of the announcements that were made by James Gunn. Now, those books that they're name dropping with the titles, which the movies are not going to be reflective of these titles most of the time, I promise you, but they're getting all these sales for their comic books with people's like, oh, well, I want to go read the story it's based on. Based on, very, very, very loosely based on. And I mean, this is doing nothing but confusing the fans who recognize that there's a complete disconnect between the films, the TV shows, and the recent classic comic book stories that they bear little, if any, resemblance to. So I'm going to just go through the entire list of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the TV shows as well, and we're going to talk about how accurately these things are depicting the comic books in which they're based on, which is, I don't know, kind of what they're supposed to be doing, I think. Am I off base saying that? I don't think so. Anyway, let me just say, forgive me if I get any of the facts about any of these books wrong. It's been decades, in some cases, since I've actually read these physical comic books. And I don't have a perfect memory like that. But I can tell you, these adaptations are in name only. So here we go. In 2008, we kicked things off with Iron Man. We had The Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, Thor, Captain America the First Avenger, The Avengers, Iron Man 3, Thor the Dark World. All of these stories were an approximation of the characters that appeared in the comics. They feature a lot of moments that happened in the comics. You know, at the end of the original Iron Man reveals to the world that he's actually Iron Man, which makes perfect sense for the character. But within the comic books, that took a really long time to happen. So they sped things up ahead for a really great character moment that I think was appropriate in the MCU. And I think it's something that wouldn't have changed a lot of the comic books too much, because the secret identity never really made a lot of sense for Iron Man, for Tony Stark in particular. Just as a character, he was somebody who would want to take credit for being a superhero. And he was already a playboy billionaire. It wouldn't really affect his life in huge ways. So things like that made sense. Largely, they got Captain America, they got Thor, they got the Avengers being formed, or at least a close approximation to the way they were formed in the Ultimates comic books, which is what those things were based on. Which is also why fans were cool with the Samuel Jackson Nick Fury instead of the grizzled white veteran that we had had in the comic books, because in the Ultimate Universe, Sam Jackson had been cast essentially by the artist as that universe's Nick Fury. So we were really open to seeing that brought to life, because it really worked in the version of the Avengers that was presented in the Ultimates. And the Avengers that we have on screen today is a little bit more similar to the Ultimates than it is the original Avengers as depicted by Jack and Stan so many years ago now. Now, the first one I want to talk about, I should say first, some of these movies I'm going to talk about are very good movies. I'm not saying that all of these movies are bad movies, but they have very little to do with the storyline that they're based on. To start things off, I'm going to talk about Captain America the Winter Soldier. Even though the Winter Soldier storyline is in some major ways fairly close to the Winter Soldier storyline that we got in the comic books written by Ed Brubaker. But the most major linchpin of the Winter Soldier film is that Iron Man's parents were both killed by the Winter Soldier. And that's not true. That doesn't come from the comic books. That is something that was made up by Kevin Feige or the writers there to tie the Marvel Cinematic Universe more closely together. I happen to like this story arc, but it has no basis in reality. And honestly, a really great adaptation of the Winter Soldier comic books as they were written would have been awesome. I mean, you didn't have to do this. You didn't have to invent this connection to Iron Man in order to make these movies excellent. They could have been excellent just being relatively accurately adapted from the source material that you are name dropping to get fans like me interested in the films you're making. It's very frustrating to us when we're like, oh, cool, Winter Soldier, I'm going to go see an adaptation of that storyline. And you go in and you're like, this isn't that storyline. This is like a completely new storyline. You just kind of stole the name. Is it true that the Winter Soldier came back in the comics in a storyline about the Winter Soldier? Yeah, but not like this. So some of it, I mean, it's true. Just like Secret Invasion. Yeah, it's true. Secret Invasion is about the Skrulls infiltrating, but not like this. Not the way that they just did it in the TV series. So this is the beginning of them name dropping something, but hugely altering the thing that they're trying to entice us with. They're trying to use member berries to get us to go watch their movies. And they're getting their member berries all messed up. So it wasn't long before they did this again. We had Guardians of the Galaxy in 2014. And then Avengers Age of Ultron came out. Now, this is just interesting because Avengers Age of Ultron was the most recent major Ultron story. Ultron has showed up in the comic books, I don't know, like 100 times? So the first appearance, you name the most recent appearance? I don't understand. It's the first time Ultron's showing up. Why not name it after those early books and not after this modern thing? Or just come up with a new unique title for your version of Ultron's introduction to the Avengers and the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That's fine. But because they want to sell all these modern comic books all over again. They're written by Brian Michael Bendis. Maybe he'll tweet about it now that we've name dropped his storyline. It has nothing to do with the movie that we saw. Avengers Age of Ultron, the miniseries that Brian Michael Bendis and Brian Hitch had done, it features Spider-Man on the Avengers, Wolverine on the Avengers. It takes place, you know, 60 years or something after Ultron was first introduced. And this movie, Avengers Age of Ultron, is the first appearance of Ultron. So again, it's just, they don't line up with one another. And anybody who's a fan of Avengers Age of Ultron is going to be really disappointed when they see this movie. So then we had Ant-Man in 2015. But number three, Captain America Civil War. Again, another movie that I like a lot. But honestly, Avengers Civil War, it was written by Mark Millar and drawn by Steve McNiven. It is one of the coolest, best miniseries events that Marvel Comics has ever put out. It's super fun, especially because it features just this huge cast. The entirety of the Marvel comic book universe essentially shows up in Civil War. It's wonderful. It makes sense, the divide between Iron Man and Captain America, and it comes from their history together. History that hasn't exactly played out here in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I mean, granted, these characters have been around for, well, like 15 years now. At the time, they were around for, what, 8 years? And all of this stuff turns into the Civil War. There were so many other stories that we could have told. I don't understand why we had to jump to Civil War and do basically a half-measure version of it. For those of you who have read the Civil War comic books, it's awesome. It's epic. I would have been willing to wait a little bit to get a Civil War that was more in line with the comic book series that I had read. There was no need to just steal the title to sell some graphic novels and make a movie that kind of does the thing and prevents us from ever actually doing the real thing, because now we've already used some of the baseline concepts already, and there's no need to go back to revisit it and do it the way fans like me and you remember. So then we get a lot of new origin stories. You got Doctor Strange in 2016, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Spider-Man Homecoming, which Spider-Man Homecoming, Zendaya is not Mary Jane. She's not Gwen Stacy. We don't get any Uncle Ben. This is a Spider-Man that is built for the MCU, built to fit into the MCU. His mentor is Iron Man, all this stuff. These are not exactly things from the comics. Some of these things have been adapted into the comic books in recent years, but for comic book fans, the reintroduction of Spider-Man in Civil War, we were thrilled by. The reintroduction of Spider-Man to the MCU with this movie, it was fun. But it didn't scratch any itch for us. It didn't tell any classic Spider-Man tale that we have been waiting to see brought to life on the big screen. But that one's not on our list. That's just a little aside from me. You know, we had Thor Ragnarok and Black Panther, and eventually we had Avengers Infinity War, which is number 6 on my list. But before I get to that, let's talk about the TV shows. On TV, you had Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, which wasn't something that ever existed like that in the Marvel comic book world. Agent Carter wasn't a book that we were making. They did that because they really liked the actress. And she's a great actress. I like the character. She did a good job. The series is cool and whatnot. But again, this isn't something that is fulfilling a decades-old promise to fans of the source material, which is really what they should be doing. Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, all of these things try their best to adapt the character as lovingly as possible and some of the storylines. But it's really when we get to The Defenders at number 4 in 2017 on Netflix. The Defenders was just some title that they stole from other comic books featuring Hulk, Doctor Strange, Silver Surfer, and Namor the Submariner, famously. This Defenders of Luke Cage and Iron Fist and Daredevil and Jessica, it's never existed. It's existed as an idea that Brian Michael Bendis brought forth, I am imagining, because of the plan for the films. We need this to be done so that it can be reflective of this TV show that we're going to do with Netflix. That doesn't count. You rushing a comic book into production so that it can then be considered a classic or it can then be considered something that is based on something that you made? No, that doesn't count. Nobody was clamoring for this Defenders team-up thing. Not to say that it wasn't a relatively fun and cool thing to do, I just don't really like that they called it The Defenders. And by calling it The Defenders, you're creating confusion in the marketplace for a film that fans like me would like to see in the future, starring the Hulk and Silver Surfer and Doctor Strange and, well, I mean, we don't really want Namor in it now that we've got Namor from the freaking Black Panther sequel. But this is a team that comic fans love, and some great films could have been made starring these characters and telling some of the stories that they've had over the years. We had The Punisher shortly after that, and then we had that Inhumans series. That's my number 5. 2017, the Inhumans series. They just like pulled the punch on so many different things here with the Inhumans. The Inhumans are a really interesting offshoot race of humanity that have these Terrigen Mists that are transforming them into superpowered, often monstrous characters. And the characters that don't get the beneficial effects of the Terrigen Mist, they become these underdwelling characters who serve the royalty and the people who have the powers. A storyline that I guess would be controversial these days, but it is what it is. The Inhumans were never depicted necessarily as bad guys. They were depicted kind of as complex and interesting characters who were initially seen as villains when they were first introduced in the pages of the Fantastic Four, which it would have been wonderful for fans like me to have seen the Inhumans introduced initially as bad guys in a Fantastic Four film. Like, seriously, you know why people love Tommy Oliver so much, the Green Ranger in the Power Rangers? He starts out as a bad guy. He gets redeemed. He becomes a good guy. That's our favorite Power Ranger. You love the bad guys who become good guys. Introduce the Inhumans as bad guys, and then we're interested to go see them in a film starring themselves. They're these monstrous, terrible people who live in a backward society. They need to learn something. Let's see that play out. Let's not just make them the heroes of their own film right off the bat. That was a stupid way to introduce them. By making them the lead of this Disney series that they were putting out, they pulled the punch completely and gave us an Inhumans that was barely the Inhumans, if at all. At number six, we're going to go back over to the films in 2018, Avengers Infinity War. And Avengers Infinity War is great, probably one of my favorites. But it's really interesting, this Infinity War title. It means a lot. It has a lot of meaning. One of the biggest associations for the Infinity War is a character named Adam Warlock, who only shows up, and again, in name only, in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. The guy that you see, Adam Warlock, I cannot say that that is a credible depiction of the Adam Warlock that fans of the cosmic side of the Marvel comic book universe adore. So many, I mean hundreds of comic books, individual comic books, have been sold featuring the storyline that is the Infinity War and the saga of the Infinity Gauntlet. It's such a larger part of the Marvel comic book universe. It's really disappointing to see it all summed up as the Infinity War when you've read those books and to know how many things got left on the cutting room floor. I mean, and not things that they shot and didn't make it into the movie. I mean, things that were written in the comics that could have been adapted into a screenplay, into a longer version of this storyline, that were shortchanged in the name of just kind of rushing through everything, which is what they've been doing. Seemingly rushing through everything from yesterday to get to more recent characters and more recent comic book storylines that are not as beloved and are not as popular. Stupid, stupid, stupid. Let's see. Number seven on my list is going to be Loki, but we'll talk about, we had Runaways, Cloak and Dagger. These were all essentially just little origin stories trying to do right by the characters as best they could. But then something like WandaVision in 2021, that's not based on anything real. It's based on maybe a couple things that have happened with the character in other stories, in other books. Again, we're not exactly getting the thing we want the way we would like to see it. We're getting whatever they want to give us, little droplets of some of the moments from comic books that fans like me have read and want to see brought to life. The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Then we've got number seven for me is Loki in 2021. Loki, this is really simple. Loki has never done anything with Kang and the Time Variance Authority, all this crap. This is just made up by them for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I liked Loki okay. I didn't really like how it ends. Granted, most of us like Loki because we like Tom Hiddleston. He's a really great actor. They've done great things with the character. Except when you get into the Loki series, the character really loses all of his meaning, at least how he's been depicted as a bad guy for not just Thor, but the entirety of the Marvel comic book universe since he was introduced ages ago. So they just did their own thing, and these are not storylines that come from the comics. This is nothing that has been adapted because people like me have loved them so much. As a comic book fan, I get upset and insulted sometimes when I see these things being put out because it seems like I asked for this, and I didn't. I did not ask for this. And if you're making things that nobody asked for, what are you doing? Now, at number eight on my list, going back to the films, is Captain Marvel in 2019. This film was the beginning of what I want to call the erosion of any accurate portrayal of characters or storylines from Marvel Comics being adapted onto the big screen. Captain Marvel was originally a Kree soldier. He was an alien from another planet. Captain Marvel that you see in the movie, Carol Danvers, she is originally Miss Marvel. She gets her powers from Captain Marvel. He is her mentor. You could have done the movie just like this. You just would have had to accurately demonstrate Captain Marvel, the Kree soldier, had her get her powers from him. It could have been adapted well. The beginning of adapting the Kree and the Skrulls happens here. They should have been setting up a huge tentpole Avengers film and recreated from the comics the classic tale of the Kree-Skrull War, which fans like me have been waiting to see adapted onto the big screen for decades and decades now. Everything wrong with Secret Invasion starts here with this Captain Marvel movie. This is the first origin film that, or origin TV show that they make, that really makes some major changes to the fundamentals of one of their characters' origins, and the character suffers for it and will suffer more for it in the future. After that, we had Avengers Endgame, Spider-Man Far From Home, Black Widow, Shang-Chi, and eventually Eternals at number 9 in 2021. Now, Eternals, race swaps and gender swaps and changes the looks of the monsters and turns them all into a homogenized, weird, super detailed version of themselves that look nothing like what Jack Kirby designed in his comic books. And the storyline, some of it adapts some of the stuff from the Eternals, but really, just looking at this thing at a glance, it is unrecognizable to the thing that it's adapting. It's the Eternals in name only. And that basically wraps it up for the films. I mean, after this, we had Spider-Man 3, Doctor Strange 2, Thor 3, Black Panther 2, Ant-Man 3, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, and now coming the Marvels. None of these things have been in the comic books like this. But they're not name-dropping a storyline in the titles that they're then not going to actually provide us with. So they're not on the list. But moving down past Loki on the TV side of things, you know, we had What If, which is fun. Hawkeye, which actually is a fairly loving adaptation in a lot of ways, even though, once again, these TV series that Marvel puts out on Disney Plus, they pretty much never stick the landing. And Hawkeye is one of the most guilty of that. Miss Marvel, Moon Knight, number 10, She-Hulk. Oh my God. She-Hulk. 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 They fundamentally screwed up the character of She-Hulk. I've been threatening to make an entire episode breaking down all of the brilliant things that they could have done simply based on Dan Slott's depiction of the character, which I read all of the issues that Dan Slott wrote of She-Hulk. It was great, 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 great stuff. The supporting characters in the book are great, and the character, the depiction of Jennifer Walters is basically that she enjoys being a Hulk, which is a big contrast to Bruce Banner, who doesn't enjoy being the Hulk and is generally always trying to cure himself of being the Hulk because he's constantly on the run from the government who's trying to weaponize him. Jennifer Walters, She-Hulk, she gets saved by her cousin from a blood transfusion. She could have been dead. Now she's alive, and she's this beautiful, muscular, super smart lawyer chick who also gets to be a superhero on the side. It's awesome. She loves it, and her gratitude about being a superhero and being able to do the kind of fun things that she does all the time in her book is what ingratiates her to the audience and makes her so lovable and so wonderful. And her breaking the fourth wall the way Deadpool does in similar ways is really charming because you love that character. Her personality is infectious. She's actually been added into other books as a supporting character over and again because she's such a lovable and infectiously joyful character. She has often been added to the Fantastic Four as a replacement member, a team which is filled with lovable and infectiously entertaining characters. She's having a good time with you. She kind of knows she's a comic book, and she knows that it's fun being a Hulk, and it's fun reading comic books, and it's fun seeing Hulk smash things, and we love that she loves what we love, and she's on our side. We're with her. She's with us. That's why Jennifer Walters is one of my favorite characters in the Marvel Universe, period. Their She-Hulk is not with us. In fact, the bad guy for the whole series is the fandom. The character who is most on our side in the comic books is at odds with us in the TV show. And this is only this tone deaf to begin with because they never read any of the comic books in the first place. They just did Girl Hulk and whatever they thought that would mean. And this miserable character depicted in that stupid She-Hulk TV series ruins the character. Ruins the character. She is a not nice person. She's like bitchy and complainy the entire series. She's not Jennifer Walters. Jennifer Walters is just a wonderful, sweet, optimistic character. And they failed miserably trying to bring her in to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I'm just forever disappointed in that one. I won't forgive you for that. So that brings us to what is essentially number 11, Secret Invasion, the recently concluded series on D+, starring Sam Jackson and Emilia Clarke and other people who I don't care to even remember. Holy crapoli. This series bears no resemblance to its comic book counterpart, which stars superheroes being replaced by Super Skrulls. Lots of Super Skrulls, not just two of them. Lots of superheroes, not just freaking General Rhodes in his street clothes. There was no need to rush out this stupid series. You could have waited until more of these chess pieces were on the board. You could have waited until the Marvels and the Captain Marvel piece of the cinematic universe had the time to properly explore the Skrulls, to properly explore the idea of Super Skrulls in the Fantastic Four. Wouldn't it be nice to introduce the Super Skrull in the Fantastic Four before you introduce these lame-ass Super Skrulls in this stupid TV series? All of this stuff, where you take the name of something we really like, whether it's a character or a storyline, and you just sort of use it to get us interested. It's lame. It's really kind of messed up. It's a trick, ultimately. Hey, Secret Invasion, guys. I know you like this. Yeah, I like Secret Invasion. This isn't Secret Invasion. What are you doing? Why have you done this to me? The DC Cinematic Universe is guilty of the same. Lots of different characters adapted from other media has been guilty of the same. And I'm going to do a couple other little extra bonus episodes in the future talking about those. But this time, I just wanted to focus on the Marvel Cinematic Universe and all the times they've called out some name just to get us interested, only to pull the rug out from underneath us and present us with something that is not the thing you told us it was. Marvel, DC, everybody, if you're listening, please stop. Please stop doing this. If you're going to name the thing after the thing we love, please at least have it nominally representative of the thing you have name dropped. Anyway, I'm Jesse Blaze Snyder. This is a bonus episode of The Coolest Geek Alive. On the larger episodes, I do letters. If you want to write me a letter, you can write me at jesseblaze@jessesnyder.com, or you can find me on Twitter at coolestgeekjbs. Also, if you really love me so much, I've got a comic book called King of Kings number 1 on Kickstarter right now. We've made our initial raise, but we still need more money to finish issue 2, issue 3, and issue 4 to wrap up the whole miniseries. It's a really funny, blasphemous good time, starring the Norse gods against Jesus and Scientology and all these other gods, 16 religions, and a battle of the bands. It is crazy, kooky, just like me. Anyway, if you love me, go right now. King of Kings number 1 on Kickstarter and pledge. I love you. Thank you for listening. And thank you for listening to our first bonus episode of The Coolest Geek Alive. You've been listening to Coolest Geek Alive with me, your host, Jesse Blaze Snyder. Don't forget to rate, comment, and subscribe for more excellent geek culture content. Thanks for listening. It's gonna be freaking awesome. Coolest alive. It's gonna be freaking awesome. Stay with your tribe. It's gonna be freaking awesome. Revenge of the Geeks. It's gonna be freaking awesome. Week after weeks. It's gonna be freaking awesome. Laughing with you. It's gonna be freaking awesome. And crying sometimes. Freaking awesome. Talking some shit. It's gonna be freaking awesome. Living legit. It's gonna be freaking awesome. Food in our mouth. It's gonna be freaking awesome. Yeah.
friggin' awesome! It's going to be friggin' awesome! Just wait! You'll see! You'll all see!